concentrates for now. I feel like concentrates help me concentrate a little bit more than a rip to the dome.
I needed a rip to the dome because you're such a little slave driver over there. I was like, Brian, I brought a really compelling news story. And Brian looked at it and was like, I don't see a lot of meat in this on this bone. But like, if you want to somehow reframe it to a way that I could understand, because I never read the articles you sent me, then please do that. And while I was doing that, he was finding all his other news items. I showed up ready. So sue me.
What'd you do?
I took a hit to the dome.
What'd you do for work today?
I got my painting framed that I've been working on. Mm-hmm. I read about 60 to 100 pages for my class. So mm-hmm. that's not nothing.
No.
Mr. Holier than thou.
Than you.
Than me.
Yeah, definitely. Well, okay. Every time Julian brings me a story, as anyone brings a story that we're going to talk to you guys about, my first question is how we're going to sell this narrative. Not even sell the narrative, but how we're going to condense it. How are we going to make it entertaining for people? This is an interesting story.
I think we're inherently entertaining, Brian. We could talk about like the history of windmills and these bitches would be on the edge of their seats.
Prove it. Go.
Dutchland. Not to be confused.
Holland.
With Deutschland.
1043
yeah.
is when I guess windmill. When do you think a windmill was invented?
1043 is a solid guess.
Thanks. If it's within 100 years of that, I'm going to feel great. What's like an official guess?
I'm going with yours, 1043.
Are you going to price?
I'm done doing, you know, work.
Are you going to price and is right it and do like 1 year below? Because like if I go 1 year over, I bust.
Okay, fine. 1068.
Okay. So somewhere between 500 and 900 AD.
God, we're stupid.
Nah.
We're so stupid, Brian.
I don't know. That was still pretty close, I feel. Between 500 and 900.
Yeah.
And I went for the early thousands. Yeah. It could be a lot worse.
You were in the right ballpark.
Are you a big fan of like windmill-based stories like Don Quixote?
Oh, you make it sound like it's a whole genre.
That's really the only one I could think of.
I love Man of La Mancha.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know the story of Don Quixote. I played one of the prisoners / rapists.
Really?
I was a chubby 14-year-old in the role of like prisoner, and we're all like, essentially like rubbing our hands along Dulcinea,
mm-hmm.
who to this day is a very good friend of mine named Lizette Cruz, incredible singer.
Wow.
And I'm like, so she's laying on a bunch of rehearsal blocks and my hands are running along her knees and I'm keeping them there. But I hear my director, Ben Agresti, RIP, such a fun, nasty little queen, just go, watch the hands, Julian.
You little skeevy perv. He's like, he probably knew that you were gay. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just like all in good fun at that point, but it's...
Oh, maybe. I never thought about that.
Yeah. There were liberties taken with us as kids in theater that, you know, by like the adults, not that anyone like did anything weird with us, but I feel like there's so much more of a probably necessary boundary there, but it's like we were kind of privy to more transparent interactions with adults being in theater.
Well, and we were young, which is worth emphasizing, but acting is kind of a nebulous space where, like, sometimes the question remains of, like, maybe being screamed at does help your performance.
Yeah, abuse is so effective because it works. Even
Hence
when I
our
was,
name.
It's our name?
Hence our name.
The Guantanamo Bays.
A Cuban cousin Kiki.
I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
And boy, oh boy, do we have a show for y'all today. Thanks for joining us, listener, on this beautiful second week. It's a day after the solar eclipse, which, Julian, do we talk about our lovely Ferris Bueller's Day Out, as it is with the eclipse?
I had a wonderful time. Brian was kind enough to surprise me with eclipse glasses, so I wouldn't
You need
be...
them.
So I wouldn't be all Donald Trump about it. Even though I was, like, when I was trying to line up my camera with, like, the filter that you put over it to capture the sun,
yeah.
I couldn't keep my glasses on because then it was, like, blocking my view of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a few close calls.
Can I just paint a picture? Julian walks in with very expensive, Versace sunglasses?
Prada.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Those Prada. Were my Pradas.
Yeah. So Julian walked in with Pradas and I'm like, and they're the kind of glasses that are so ostentatious for such an event that I'm like, I hope he doesn't plan on looking at the sun with that. And so the first thing I say when he walks in is, here are the eclipse glasses. Do not look at the eclipse anyway. besides through these glasses. And Jordan's like, yeah, yeah, fine. And I'm
no,
like,
no, I was like, they're polarized, Brian. They're Italian.
Hold on. No, yeah.
They're Italian and they're polarized, Brian.
I just really emphasize that there's no other way to look at the eclipse than through clinical glasses for this exact event. So then as soon as I see Julian walk outside in his glasses, I see him sneak a look up to the sun in his fucking Prada.
I have
Pradas.
A Mula version. You know this already.
But did you know that
I... the day I died.
Did you know that I saw you do that?
Probably.
Yeah.
We hang out too much because now we're just negging each other all the time.
I don't mean to.
I don't mean to either. I think it's a weird kind of reflex. And, like, I think I just get annoyed with fucking everybody once I spend enough time with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's just a little something about me.
But do you feel like you get called out for your stuff a lot or not? As
for my stuff?
Mm-hmm. Just stuff that annoys people. Do you feel like you catch the shit end of people getting on your case for stuff? You know,
No.
Okay.
I think I'm just hypersensitive, so like even if it's passive aggressive, I'm like, ouch.
Passive aggressive is almost worse.
A paper cut.
Yeah, it's almost worse because then you just like have one or two huffy interactions with like a friend and then you just don't talk to them anymore. And then there's so many questions left unanswered.
Yeah. I come from the school of break plates and apologize later.
Yeah, but you know, talk about it, right? Just don't like kind of fade away into the shadows.
No. But I have had dynamics where all of a sudden I was like, you know what? I guess we're just going to fade into the shadows.
And usually that's like a mutual place, you and that person. Not you specifically, just like in my experiences, that's kind of how it feels.
Yeah, it's like a lack of, yeah, and a lack of correspondence is correspondence when you think about it.
It is.
If the relationship was once emotional and intimate.
And very heavy on corresponding, you know? It's like the silence speaks volumes. Should we move into...
I loved the timing of that. I was like, we better not say a fucking thing.
No.
I
think it ended at the perfect time, too.
Yeah. Well, we could talk about family correspondence. That's kind of the essence of our news from the motherland this week.
Right. News from where we talk about Cuban news. And this is news from the local land because it is Cuban Angelino news.
Which I love.
Yeah. We don't get many
of those. Let's break through the water and just gasp for air.
All right.
As we tread along the Caribbean.
We'll throw it to Julian in the field for this story on news from the local land.
So you're right. It is a local news story, and it involves a Silver Lake restaurant called Cafe Tropical.
Uh-huh.
And
never been there. Never been there.
A few other Cuban restaurants in the immediate area, which is why I was like, juicy. Let's talk about it.
Ears perked up on that one.
Because we never talked about an LA-specific Cuba story.
Not really. Not,
which is
well, no, I mean, when we first met Jordan at the event, you know, when he was being sent to Cuba and stuff like that. So,
that's,
I mean,
true. I suppose that was Cuban related.
Yeah, and like local in LA. But this is involving Cuban people.
Like, that to me wasn't any more Cuban than like going to a drag show at Lyric Hyperion. You know what I mean? I was like, cool. Like, yeah. You know, another non-binary gathering. Like, been there, done that.
Yeah. No, this is actual family, you know, blood disputes among...
Ooh.
Yeah, I went
Well,
there.
No violence was involved.
No
but
blood
I'll tell you,
share... You know, spilled. No blood spilled.
No blood spilled, but some tea spilling right now.
Wow.
Settle in, honey.
And tears.
Cuban bakery Cafe Tropical opened 50 years ago and closed last December over, yes, a family dispute.
Aye, aye, aye.
But luckily, it reopened under different, but sadly, non-Cuban owners. So what happened? Why did this establishment that had been opened so long close last year before being reopened? If you live in LA, you likely know Cafe Tropical. If not for their cafecitos and medianoches, then for the support groups that meet there throughout the week.
Aw.
I know.
It was a support group
space. One of my good friends goes to a support group there at Cafe Tropical, and their name is...
I was like, should we even be saying?
And the celebrity in their support group is,
yeah, like as much as I like it as a support group space, even knowing like that in the article kind of blowing up its spot, it's like it's also where people went to go be anonymous for a while. It's kind of hilarious.
So Cafe Tropical's previous owner is named Daniel Navarro, and he comes from a family that already owned a nearby Cuban restaurant, El Cochinito.
Man, to be born into royalty like that,
I know. Talk about a legacy family.
Mm.
Some people donate gyms to Harvard. Some people just, you know, sell medianoches along Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
And they're the same thing.
If you're the Sacklers, you give a lot of money to museums and arts programs, you know?
And if you're the Navarros, you give empanadas to my belly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right alongside the Porto family. You know, it's like this whole like Cuban consortium of like bakery royalty that's like, you know, LA based. So yeah. It's like there's definitely a market. It's a pretty big market in LA.
Totally. If we weren't going to Monkey Man at the City Walk, what, after this, I would totally be like, let's get Cuban food. But
but not at
El Cochinito.
Mm.
So to buy Tropical, Daniel Navarro took out loans and used money from the shared family business of El Cochinito to pay the loans back. He also used the money to open a new bar called Bolita, Little Ball. And this all caused El Cochinito to incur debts of more than $700,000. And you know what? To quote my super sweet 16, Dior is closed, Mom. El Cochinito is closed. Do you remember? Because she goes to spring break. She goes to Paris during spring break, like to find her sweet 16 dress and like all or it's like August or something.
You know, I saw a number of like, because I feel like everyone was exposed to a bunch of super sweet 16s. I don't remember like the specific ones like that. But I remember even watching it with you.
Criterion Collection.
It was a real cultural, like that era of MTV, unfortunately, really did define an era, but it was like a very outwardly toxic one.
Yeah.
And no one seemed to clock it or care.
You know, the Bush years were kind of like a repeat of the Reagan years in their like ostentatiousness.
And the trashiness kind of.
Yeah, like Hummers. Even though
there was a buttoned-upness to the Reagan era that I could at least kind of appreciate, a formality, whereas like Bush, it was like, woo, titties and beer and killing Bin Laden and, you know, Toby Keith strumming up Islamophobia.
He is more legitimately folksy than Reagan is and therefore less of a hypocrite.
Now, when Bush kills Iraqis, he does it out of the genuineness of his heart. He's not putting on an act.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
Right. I left my vape in the car, but it's okay. That's God protecting me. So. Yeah.
Go ahead. Do you want this?
No. I want like the nicotine vape.
Yeah, that is God protecting you.
Well, we don't know yet how harmful vapes are. But anyway, it's better than cigarettes, dude. Have you noticed I smoke those way less?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay, word.
In your lifetime of smoking them, you smoke them a little less.
Yeah. I haven't bought any in like a week, 2 weeks.
Amazing.
Thanks.
What's the longest you've gone without buying cigarettes?
Oh, since like 2022?
Or just ever? Like, when was the longest?
Because it really picked up in 2022 when I went to Europe and gave up weed.
That's dangerous.
I just didn't bring any weed. But like, it was but it was a 2-week trip. And then I came back and I was like, I'm going to keep avoiding weed throughout the day. But I supplanted that with what? Cigarettes.
I remember. Heavily.
And then I ended up smoking both throughout the day. So I was just like, well, bitch, pick a lane.
Yeah. Yeah.
But his mom and sister, they claim that he must account for the $2.5 million that had either been spent or transferred from one company to the others.
Mm.
But the plot thickens. He settled with his family last year to pay them back $350,000 in exchange for their stake in Cafe Tropical. But he never made that payment, so now he has to pay $366,000. Por qué, why, Brian?
Interest,
why did it go from 350 to 366?
Sounds like an legal interest fees. Or like a late payment. It's like when you don't pay a parking ticket after 30 days, it goes up, you know, $30 or whatever.
Well, I have a question. I have a question related to this. Would you borrow against your family's business?
That just seems like a slippery slope. Well, not without them knowing. Isn't that kind of what happened?
No, I guess they didn't know the full, they obviously didn't know the number amount.
Sure.
Or tracked it. So like the onus is also kind of on them, even though he is making all these, I don't know, fuck.
I guess it depends on like what element of fraud is in there. Like what was he telling? And I don't know if that's like explicitly stated.
Well, definitely pay your mom back, bro. Like that's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
Although, as someone that's paid my mom back for everything.
I was about to say, usually quote unquote loans from mom.
Running the tab, child.
Without interest, by the way. So
Eloise at the Plaza Hotel.
Yeah. From day one. But yeah, usually what you know. There's money borrowed from mom, which, you know, in general, you don't expect to, like, pay back, right? Sometimes it's just, like, mom helps you out. And then there's, like, money you loan from the business, which is, like, it's not just mom now. It's the family.
It's
and
family
it's the, and it's, like, the kind of trust, you know, of the family, too.
Also, how are you going to go around trying to buy restaurants on Sunset Boulevard? Like, in Silver Lake, that rent is steep. Steep.
And it's almost like a restaurant Ponzi scheme where it's like he robbed Peter to pay Paul, but Peter was his mom. and Paul's like this new restaurant that he wants to open, and he just kept
Little Ball.
Yeah. What? And so you said Bolita?
Bolita.
That's funny. That's funny. Because at first I thought, like, you know, Bolita isn't like Boleto.
I'm like, despite the name, this guy has big balls. Like, you know, in like a...
Yeah. That was kind of like him signing the crime of being like, it takes such big balls to do what I'm doing. I'm going to call it Little Ball. The cops won't even know.
Like, there is an irony there.
Yeah.
I'm just pissed that El Cochinito folded because of all this bullshit.
How was it? I never went.
It was so good, Brian. Yeah. I thought that Opa Vieja was legit. They had, like, solid croquetas.
You know, oh my gosh. I don't even want to say it. I was about to, you know...
Blaspheme local fare.
Yeah.
Blaspheme local takes on Cuban fare.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, not local takes. Not your takes.
I'll keep it general. A lot of the croquetas that I get at restaurants...
Uh-huh, go ahead.
...are more Puerto Rican in my mind. Like, they're more, like, pasty.
Okay, yeah.
And I like it, like,
meatier. I never knew that, like, pasty meant more Puerto Rican.
I mean, croquetas. I don't know. I'm just talking through my ass.
Okay.
But in my experience...
But that, like, was my experience. They're more pasty.
Like, my Puerto Rican friend and her family, like, the times that they've made croquetas and stuff, the, like... But also, who are we to talk, bitch? Like, we do Goya.
I was going to say...
We do Goya.
Yeah.
And so I guess restaurants are afraid of being sniffed out for the Goya of it all. So they're like, shit, I guess we'll make our own croquetas.
Right, true. And I was going to say pretty much exactly what you said about the paciness of a lot of restaurant croquetas nearby. And there's one very well-known Cuban bakery that I was going to say that collectively as a family, we agreed we were never going to get their croquetas again for this reason.
Brian, shut the fuck up.
But I'm not going to say
it. Because it's so obvious.
I'm not going to say it,
though. We're done talking about this.
I'm not going to say it.
We're done talking about this because they have great things, too.
That, and we still buy from them as well.
And we still buy from them as well.
Just not.
We're not here to knock local companies.
Get this. Yes. And they're doing fine. I ain't worried about this.
Okay. Keep running your mouth, bitch.
Vamos. Okay, so is that the news? Is there anything more that we want to cover from this?
Not from the actual motherland. Like, mm-hmm. This kind of caught my eye because Cafe Tropical opened under these new owners. Again, lamentably not Cuban, but, like, let's still go and support because the menu looks incredible. And they welcomed guests back with, like, delicious little sandwiches.
And people were all abuzz. They were posting the photos.
And I'm grateful that the support groups have somewhere else to convene. As a friend of someone that goes to that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Where you can find them Tuesdays at 7. But, yeah, that's, that's just a win. It's a win. And
Hollywood's coming back to life.
You know, that is a good indicator.
Support groups finally could meet again. All the comedy writers in Silver Lake can finally go back to their support groups. Hollywood's healing.
You know what's funny? I mean, it's not funny. It's sad. But you came to my house the other day and I was watching Pawn Stars, which is like a total guilty binge, you know, just background watch for me. Mm-hmm. And the owner of Pawn Stars, I read this story recently. He's also in a legal dispute with his mom over the finances of the pawn shop. And I just think... And it just made me instantly think, look, anytime you're caught in litigation with your mom, especially if you're the one and the star of Pawn Stars, this, and I see this kid without knowing him at all, I see him as kind of like the Rick Harrison, the Pawn Star guy in this situation. Because he's the one who's like trying to fly too close to the sun, do extreme things with like family finances and stuff like that. And anytime your mom is suing you or you have to pay her for like damages that you've done to her and the family, it's like you are so clearly the bad guy.
Where do you think that recklessness comes from? Or do you think they just aren't aware of like the realities of like investments and stuff?
That's part of it. What did I say earlier?
Or is it just like the masculine urge to once again break plates and apologize later, as so I said earlier?
That's a part
of
it.
Oh my god, I'm totally the Daniel Navarro.
Well, yeah, kind of. Thank god no one owned a restaurant for you to ruin. But that's the thing. The first thing you said was,
as if, bitch, I'd add like karaoke night and stuff. don't even know
but,
me.
But what, you don't, yeah, you'd have karaoke night and then everyone would be like, oh, you should be calling the shots, Julian. And you'd be like, really? And then you'd make some crazy Lady Macbeth move to like totally fuck. But that's what when you first brought him up, the first thing I said was how nice to be born into royalty. If you are born into like local LA royalty, you're gonna like want to make your move.
But they own the business, they don't own the building, honey, and there's a difference. Like, right. It's still gonna be like a full-time job to keep that shit running.
But he probably, well, and maybe he understood that, but he just thought he was smarter or better or whatever than he actually was.
Well, I forgive him, mm-hmm. but I miss El Cochinito, and I think that was bullshit for him to drag our child into this war.
El Cochinito.
My little pig. My little piggy.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Remember Lulu, the pig that we had at the ranch?
Yeah.
And we actually did get along with her for a while.
Didn't Sophie, our cousin, save this pig, Lulu? So, for context, listeners.
I don't think Lulu made it.
Okay. Yeah, we had a good Cuban pig off.
Yeah.
A little cochinito of our own.
Yeah.
And he oinked, oinked, oinked all the way to my belly.
Yeah, I might cut out the Lulu stuff because it's just too sad.
You think it's sad? I think it's actually way less sinister than like eating pre-packaged meat and stuff.
It is. I just have photos.
We killed that beast nobly.
Yeah.
I mean, my uncle Mitch did it, I think.
I'd want it to be Mitch.
You'd want it to be Mitch, yeah, because he knows the ins and outs of how to sterilize meat and stuff.
Now it's my beast. I'll wield the blade. I'm so sorry, Lulu.
I suppose it is his beast.
Yeah.
Lulu nourished us. I don't think that's sad at all, and I thank her, and I feel her spirit in my stomach. And I'm Lulu, let me out.
Stays. The kid stays in the picture. You had your day in the sun, Lulu. We're keeping you in.
The kid stays in the picture. How do you know that phrase?
It's pretty ubiquitous, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's from Robert Evans, you know?
Right, totally.
The head of
Paramount.
Paramount
in the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're about to
mansplain Robert Evans to me.
Totally.
When I was quicker to say Paramount.
My legs were starting to spread a little on the seat. I was like, well, married to Alan McGraw, don't you know? Who also, I think, got with Henry Kissinger. And I'm done being out in these streets saying more salacious lies than that. But that's true.
He was with Marilyn Monroe. What the hell? I know, what the hell?
Like, he must have made a pact with the devil.
It was just, you know, people. Also, it was an era where people loved intelligence. So, if, you know, people thought he was smart.
I was born in the wrong time. They would have loved my intellect and wit.
Yeah.
And my horn-rimmed glasses.
You would have been quite the social commentator.
I know, but instead I'm just a guy in a V-neck with a Dickies jacket and hokas that are looking a little scuffed.
Yeah, we never had a chance, Julian.
I really, you know, I was watching some like old school performance and they were all in like zoot suits. I don't remember who I was watching this with, but I was like, should I dress like that? Like completely earnestly.
Honestly.
The person was like, no. And I'm like, because I'm just ready for a zoot suit moment.
It couldn't hurt. I mean, if you, no big swing, no extreme thing that you decide to do, including
goes unrewarded in this town.
Exactly. You just got to do it every day.
Got leopard spots tattooed to my face. That was a very plosive sneeze. I even saw the plume.
It's because I couldn't cover it. I had a microphone in one hand and literally my
and a drink in another,
and my laptop on my lap. I mean, I'm totally.
And you guys can't see this, but there's a sparrow that just landed on his index finger.
I know, and I'm feeding it with my mouth
while having a bucket of water on your head. Well, I don't know if there's anything else Cuban related that you want to talk about, but I think I'm good.
I think I'm good for now.
I was so salacious at
at
High Tops, that gay bar in Los Feliz, because I went to go see RuPaul's Drag Race on Friday before my show. And I quite incendiarily said to everyone that I was voting for Robert Kennedy. And it was like, oh my God. And I was like, I'm just saying, don't rule it out. Don't rule it out.
I mean, how'd you expect? I mean, that's how I reacted.
I don't know why I put myself in these situations.
I don't know why you do it.
Because the truth of the matter is, I don't know, but I judge people for judging someone that would vote for Robert Kennedy that quickly. It's like, I'm just saying, question the vaccines, dumb fucks. I'm not saying get rid of them or like, don't do them. But, like, you have to constantly be aware of, like, big industry, like big pharma.
Yeah. Yeah. I think even people who believe in the science of the vaccine aren't, like, Pfizer apologists or big pharma apologists necessarily. I think there's plenty of people who took the vaccine and trust.
Well, they just buy the rhetoric wholesale.
They buy it hook, line, and sinker, maybe.
Sure.
You know, that could be another.
Yeah.
Version. So you think there's just people.
I just see that sprouting up all the time.
And you think there's like plenty of people out there you're saying who are like, yay, Daddy Pharma, Big Brother, Moderna, like that, you know, yay, do all this all the time.
Well, they wouldn't say it explicitly like that. Like in theory, they're like, I know they're super evil, but like, this is okay. This, you know what I mean?
Right.
They don't understand like the full ramifications of those big companies. I mean, I don't either, but.
Yeah, but I know that I should know something that exactly. I don't, and that's enough sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just when, you know, what RFK Jr. does in the directions he turns, and this is why I'm like, do we really not have one good fringe candidate? It's like they're always too fringe, where like he starts talking about like this ethnic-based like pseudoscience and stuff. Like Robert Kennedy has gone into weirder territory than... I think a lot of people kind of like his take on the vaccines, actually, but then they... He keeps
then he gets into like eugenics
and
or something.
Other topics. Hmm. And that
I can't speak on those.
Right. So just appreciate that maybe if you say that to people, they might.
Yo, send me some articles. That's what's good. Send me some articles.
Right. Well, no, if you tell.
If you like, don't want me to fuck with him, send me some articles.
Right. Or if you tell people you like RFK or you're going to vote for him, they might have seen that stuff that you haven't.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, that's who he's voting for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just maybe how those people felt. But I think we all, you know, forget about RFK for a second, though. What would happen if Julian was president? Paint a picture real quick. Day one, what do you do?
I've told you already, a lot of buildings would be pastel colored, mostly one level buildings. It'd be sprawling, but low.
What if I told you the president doesn't have like a whole ton of authority about like, all the building colors and
oh, you're saying if I were president and not, like
and not God. So as God, there'd still be buildings. Like you'd still stay within this kind of.
I mean, I've told you my big ones, bitch. I feel like the diet in this damn country needs to get way better.
Uh huh.
Because so that would like save so many costs in like hospitalizations.
What about when Monsanto, you know, smacks its dick in your face on day
one? All of that's top. Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. This is all hypothetical. Like, right. I was actually thinking about this today in the car. Like, and we've said this before. Like, there's no way. Like, I'm such a pacifist when it comes to foreign policy that there's no way I'd ever get the nomination, much less survive the presidency. They'd shoot me right between the eyes because I would just be like, we're sitting this one out. And you the know, military complex is like, no.
Ron Paul, I don't know Bernie Sanders' foreign policy as much, but Ron Paul is completely isolationist. And he got a lot of populist attention, you know, Ron Paul did on like essentially totally isolationist, and I don't know, that resonates with a lot of Republicans, I feel like.
Yeah. And a growing faction of the left.
Yeah. I mean,
while we drive around with like fuck Putin bumper stickers with the Ukraine thing.
I mean, not everyone does. It just kind of, I think so much of it is just fundamentally, what role do you think the United States plays in the world stage? And we've fought wars and had international debates and internal debates on this, you know, for like better part of a century now. You know, we didn't think we could get involved in World War One.
Just in my country, but in my world, I would want no war. Maybe there's a world where that wouldn't happen.
Would that be the world according to Jules?
That's the kind of world I want to live in.
This is where I read Julian a headline from the week that was, and he gives me its pure unfiltered thoughts on...
Unfiltered.
Like
stagnant rainwater.
From the dome to the mouth. Like stagnant rainwater. Are you ready for your first headline?
Yes.
Okay. Canadian DNA lab knew its paternity tests identified the wrong dads, but it kept selling them anyway. Your thoughts?
I saw recently that sperm banks were going to allow gay men to donate their sperm. And one of my friends like had a funny caption that was like, sign me up or something, like finally another source of income. And I was like, fuck no. Like at first I was like, should I? And then I was like, no, that's like, that's not, you know, I don't think God would want that.
God wouldn't want you to donate your sperm?
Not necessarily. Like that's one of the big things about being gay is like, you're not necessarily supposed to like impregnate
procreate.
People.
So
I could come.
This, right. That's
don't take my liberty now.
It was a rule that gay men could not donate sperm.
Yeah.
Like
according to the national website, them.us, which we oft rely on this podcast.
National, state level, I'm curious how far reaching this rule was. That just got repealed. And that you yourself care to like self-sterilize or even have an opinion on it.
The FDA will reportedly end its ban on sperm
donations. It's an FDA regulation. My goodness. So, oh my God, at a...
Which, like, I would just be like, nah, I don't have sex with men. Thank you.
Right.
Okay, so explain to me how they were incorrect.
So, testing by ViaGuard Acumetrics seemed to use guesswork over science, some ex-employees say. So they were employees who basically on the inside, I guess they would send samples to the lab and the lab would send back the results. Mm. And the employees were like, the science they were using to match the DNA was not perfect.
That's what happened with my urine test last year, everybody, when I didn't become a lifeguard. It just wasn't the right result, dude.
That's so funny.
What the heck? What's going on at that lab?
So that was your first story. Are you ready for your second one?
I am so ready.
Okay. In the world according to Jules, some mischief happened. Oh no. Explosive device thrown onto the porch of a satanic temple in Massachusetts blew up, but no injuries were reported. Your thoughts?
Mischief does happen in the world according to Jules, and oftentimes it's welcomed. Think like Whoville. It's like Seussian vibes, where it's like, oh boy, everyone's mail got mixed up because the Grinch put it in the wrong box.
And this time there was like a little explosive device that threw onto a satanic temple.
Yeah, I'm not anti-satanist any more than I'm anti-Christian.
Although you still are pretty fundamentally Catholic, you feel.
Yeah, and culturally for sure. But no one does. I mean, come on. How are you going to blow somebody up? Although I don't know their dogma, so maybe they...
What do you know about modern Satanism? I'm curious.
I know it's like anti-capitalistic. Like I saw a documentary on this. It started with like renouncing
money.
It's
not necessarily like pro-devil, pro-Satan. It's more of like an anti-establishment sort of.
Right.
You know? So
Satanism's... Even though maybe it's my Catholic upbringing, but I did buy into like satanic panic.
Exactly.
Like there are like real satanic cults that are like fucked up that like eat women's organs and shit.
Sure, yeah.
So fuck all that.
Look at Lacey Peterson. That's what people think happened to her now.
I know, but Brian, we don't have the time.
We don't. We simply do not.
But Scott looks guilty and so do I.
But that doesn't mean you are, damn it.
But that doesn't mean I killed her. But I will say, I don't know enough about like those freaky Satanists to know whether they'd be pleased by the bomb. But maybe they would be. I feel like if you track that logic, they'd be like, yes, for it is written in his bloodied hand.
It's like a pretext to start your own war against religion, right? Like, they bombed us, comrades. We must, you know, they shot the first shot.
Right. And that's why, once again, from a pacifist perspective.
Real Boston Massacre vibes.
From a pacifist perspective, I'm like, don't do it because it's going to give them the go-ahead. Don't October 7th them.
Yeah, yeah. It's... But you know, it seems like apparently the damage was so minimal, no one even knew about this incident until like 12 hours after it happened. They were like, oh, there's some weird like stuff over here. I guess a bomb went off. So, you know, they clearly, it seemed like more of a protest bomb than anything that was going to kill or hurt people. But maybe they tried to burn it down. I don't know. But people don't be liking the Satanists.
Where's temple. This?
Massachusetts. Mm. Salem. Just saying.
I mean, yeah, that's so true. I didn't even think about that parallel.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah, and you know what? This is in Salem.
It is in Salem?
That temple, yeah.
Wow. How,
so, like, if you're going to live in Salem...
You totally buried the lead.
If you're going to live in Salem, adapt. You know that there's going to be a Satanist temple.
And also, like alternative religions and cults don't flourish in that part of the country. You need more space. Go to, like, fucking Idaho. No one will throw a bomb at you.
Well, some might argue, though, that it was ground zero for American occult culture.
Yeah, but I'm saying like in our modern understanding of all of these religions and stuff.
Get out what they should leave their ancestral lands that they took from other people's ancestral lands.
It's the Satanist ancestral land?
Well, the occult, since it's kind of American occult.
Well, because it's the first frontier.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't think they should get kind of right of first refusal?
get a land acknowledgement?
Yeah.
Hey guys, before we start the Springfield, Massachusetts
Strawberry
Festival.
We are Satanist land acknowledgement.
You have any other headlines for me?
That's really it as far as World According to Jules is, though. Headlines.
Thank God. My auditory skills, Brian, I'm so sorry. That required every fiber of my being right now.
Do you ever want to try World According to Brian?
Well, this is very much up your alley, and I may fucking talk as well. But I imagine you like Sly Stallone. Do you like him?
Who?
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, Sly Stallone. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, apparently, he was shit-talking a bunch of background actors recently.
Not surprising.
In Atlanta. And apparently he called over the director saying, what the fuck is up with these fucking ugly background? He and the director proceeded to call certain people terrible names and laughed at them. Tub of lard, fat guy with cane, was making fun of their weight and handicaps. Sly said, bring in pretty young girls to be around me. So a bunch of the background actors...
It's like, Sly, this scene is in a nursing home.
That's funny. Anyway, but it's awful because like I've done background plenty. And they don't treat you very wonderfully.
Well, some actors
but also,
do.
Also, I thought Stallone was older and had chilled out.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too. And it's kind of sad that he, you know, Hollywood was giving him a bunch of chances. You know, way more at this point. He's kind of in the fourth act, Tulsa King. A lot of people rave about it and they say like, oh, you should watch Tulsa King. You'd really like it. I don't think it'd be any good.
That's where this happened.
Probably. Because what else is he shooting, you know?
So it's a show?
Yeah. Apparently, you know, well reviewed, and so I think he thinks he's cool again. You know, it's like ever since the Expendables threw him a bone, he's been able to kind of come back and be like, "Hey, I said I want pretty girls around me. What's with the fat guy here?" So
that's a pretty good Stallone.
Hey, thanks. It's great. Hey, thanks. Yeah. You know,
what's your favorite Rocky?
And I'm like, dude, you know, as someone who medically suffered from partial face paralysis, I thought you'd be nicer to people over things they can't control because your ass is loaded with plastic surgery. These extras can't afford plastic surgery on a SAG scale.
Dang.
I mean, so it's punching down, you know, it'd be one thing.
Also, it totally undercuts his underdog story.
Yeah, no, it's just a shitty thing. It's a shitty thing to make. People feel, and maybe you think because they're like old white guys or whatever, they don't have feelings, or you know, you think that you could kind of like get away with it because you yourself are an old white guy being Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, is it the mention of the cane that makes you think these people were older?
Probably,
yeah,
or like you know, have some kind of once again disability that he himself also has, but has paid millions of dollars to make not apparent. So, you know, what scale those guys are getting paid. I think he's an EP for fuck's sake on it. So it's just shitty to point out a poor person and be like, hey, you're ugly. Because no one's ugly. They're just poor.
Yeah. What's your favorite Rocky?
The original.
Sure.
In terms of Camp 4, that's when he fights Ivan Drago, the Russian.
Uh-huh.
Dolph Lundgren. Oh, that was also like one of Dolph Lundgren's coming out parties, if not the coming out party. And I think he's such an overlooked star.
Coming out party, like you mean like his big... premiere, like his big debut.
Yeah, on the world stage.
Okay.
And like, he's still, yeah.
He came out in that movie?
I am gay.
It was so ahead of its time.
It was.
He walked so Kristen Stewart could run.
And that's And Rocky is inherently an underdog story. That's why the first one's so good. That's why they just kind of get a little bit more ridiculous. That's why the best Rocky movie since Rocky was probably Creed. Mm. Because, you know, you picked up the pieces where... Honestly, Rocky is kind of responsible for this kid's dad's death. That's a great story, you know? And kind of that narrative is more compelling than anything Rocky came out with after the first one. Time.
The sheer... There you go. See? Yeah, the sheer entitlement to... Like, I don't know. I'm just like, dude, like, you're an icon because you sold this narrative of you being like... I don't know.
An everyman.
An everyman.
An underdog.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, someone with a cane?
Yeah, they don't have a rowing machine that kept their back aligned their whole life.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know, you know, just like, if you're a multimillionaire famous person, just, is it that hard to not be rude to extras? I worked with really successful people, tantamount, maybe not, you know, so Sly's a big, big star, but we'll say, like, in that same category, who were... completely gracious.
Yeah.
And just, you know, couldn't have been
if
nice.
If anything, it's like so passe and like old hat to be rude now on sets, I feel like.
That kind of shows the disconnect between people who are famous in like the 70s and 80s, right, and people who are famous in a more...
Yeah, it's, you know, like, no wonder Jack Nicholson doesn't go back to his set. Like, he knows himself well enough to be like, I'm gonna pinch someone's
some
ass.
Movies.
Yeah. Hey, sugar. It's like, Jack! Yeah. I have one more headline.
That and the dementia. But yeah, you know, we miss you, Jack.
Alrighty. I've got one final thing for you.
Please.
And this is our gay item of the week. Beep, beep. So the hunks du jour need to start having fun on Instagram again. That is the headline.
Are they not having fun? Are hunks sad?
hunks aren't necessarily...
Are they keeping a distance?
It's just... So, this is a specific article in Vulture.
Wow.
And it mentions how Paul Mescal, Josh O'Connor, all these young actors now are, like, much more private. A lot of times their accounts are private. Or, like...
So good.
It, or it'll be, like, a photography account with, like, solemn, like, black and white pictures of, like, landscapes. I guess that's what's funny about this is, like, there seems to be a cultural movement among, like, young, in-demand male performers.
Yeah.
To keep shit on the low-low.
Yeah. I get it.
Less selfies, less thirst traps.
I get it.
I do, too. I get it. And I don't lament it. This article laments the end.
And that's stupid and really selfish of the article.
I know. It's like they want me to continue to have body dysmorphia.
Yeah. And they want to just... They feel like they don't have enough morsels to criticize, and they're demanding more, but that's not up to them. That's a really shitty thing to put on someone.
That's so true. And
please put yourself under a microscope for me to criticize.
And I think, like, by democratizing, like, how do I word this? I think social media can demystify people that are in movies and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Because then you're just like, oh, that's the same guy I saw post that thirst trap.
Yeah. Oh, he did that dance video.
He's not really a chameleon.
Uncle at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah. He's not the chameleon.
And now I expect to believe that he's in this, like, Nazi movie.
Yeah.
Even though he did a wonderful TikTok dance.
Yeah, especially because he did a wonderful TikTok dance. I don't believe he's a German soldier anymore.
Like, I'm trying to think of someone that's been able to kind of bridge those two things. Like, being, like, a serious heavy hitter actor with, like, actually being very, like, Insta-friendly. I mean, yeah, because even, like, Zendaya and stuff, like, I think now her Instagram, even though she's, like, huge on it, it's still very, like, promotional.
Yeah, or just, like, you know, one post a year.
And they have, like, private ones.
Totally. They're finstas.
And I totally get it.
Yeah.
My Instagram's private now, and I love it. Mm.
That's fun.
I don't have any nasty stray cats coming to my door. That's a spray bottle.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded like a gun cocking, but the
but I motion, swear it's a spray bottle.
The finger motion was a spray bottle for sure. What are you afraid of when people come to your public Instagram profile?
I just feel triggered sometimes if I see that they're seeing my shit.
Oh.
It just, like, sets me down a
people
path.
That don't follow you?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. Like, people from my past that are like, what's he up to? I'm like, you don't deserve to know, bitch.
Really? Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just something about me.
I mean, I just don't feel like I have a lot of people from my, you know, complex and dark past that, like...
That check on you?
Yeah. If
it's we're not frequent, but, yeah. Like, every few months, it's like, oh, my God, go away.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I changed the key.
Also, as a comedian, I'm like... I'm always struggling with, like, my distaste for creating stuff for social media... With
me too,
the necessity.
I won't do a TikTok unless I think something's, like, genuinely funny. Whereas, like, a year or two ago, I was trying to do, like, one or two every day, and it was just, I felt like a fly hitting a wall. I felt crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited for this movie tonight.
We're seeing Monkey Man.
Monkey Man, which looks very good. I have tickets to see Civil War on Friday.
Oh, that looks intense.
Oh, it looks so good.
Jesse Plemons is, like, kind of perfect for that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Anything you want to plug? Anything coming up?
What's coming up? I have my final show. Oh, zoinks. They probably won't hear it in time. But it's this Friday, and it's our last show with that team. That team is dissolving. We've done their show now, Brian, for 6 years, my musical improv
team. Which team?
They're called Shellco. They actually started in Austin.
Wow. Shellco. I want to
visit it. Yeah. If you're free Friday, it's at 8:15 at the Impro.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of the end of an era. They had our team open for them for, like, literally 6 years.
Wow.
Because they wanted the show to start with, like, a bang, you know, with musical improv. And then they would do their, like, very clever, like, mono scenes and stuff.
Are they, was it, like, an honor that they got you guys for their final one?
Well, we...
Do you always open for them?
We always open for six them. 6 years. That's the honor.
Even through all the different iterations of your past teams, Lady Peter Charm and all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, the well, core three of us that are now a team have been with them for 6 years. It's incredible.
That's amazing.
And so I'm forever indebted to them for the amount of fun Fridays they've given me through these shows.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's plugging it so much as, you know, laying a dozen roses at the tombstone.
Yeah.
But we'll always have the memories.
Just as we'll always have the memories of...
Oh, my emphysema machine's acting up. Hold on. Oh, what about you? Any goodies in your 2D?
I'll be opening for Austin Silver in Austin, Texas, May 18th.
Oh, it's the Austin and Austin show.
Yeah, he's going to be headlining. So it's not for another month. Y'all got time. But I'll be featuring for him at the Velveeta Room, which is like a dream venue if you grew up doing comedy in Austin. So really
please
cool.
Please tell me that it actually has ties to Velveeta, or were people just like loving Velveeta?
It's just, I think the idea is like, oh, it's cheesy jokes and funny. Oh, so it is like, it's not related to the Velveeta company, but just kind of cheese in general.
Does it have a Velveeta color palette?
I think you'd be disappointed.
I'm already disappointed. I need at least some of that. Like,
it's not like gold. Cheddar yellow. If that's
it should be in some places.
No.
Not all of it. It's I'm right not next, saying treat it like a Chuck E. Cheese.
It's right next door to Esther's Follies.
Oh my God.
Just to give you an idea, which is
a very formative place for us. Yeah,
for sure.
Well, that's lovely.
Yeah, so I'll be doing a bunch of shows in Austin and in LA right now. A lot of my focus is open mics, auditions, and
3 o'clock of
singing preparing
lesson.
For grad school.
4 o'clock of coaching session, 4:45 an audition. I guess my homework will have to wait. I'll be back at intermission. That's from the Broadway Kids.
Broadway. I was circling it.
Yeah. They like wrote their own song. Some good CDs.
That was the introduction.
Yeah.
Track.
Yeah.
That CD.
Exactly. All right. Let's go to the City Walk.
Let's see Monkey
Man. We can hit up the Oxygen Bar like we're 15 again.
That will be fun. From the Guantanamo Bay's podcast, I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
Thank you and good night.
Buenas noches.